Om Shanti, good morning. Very warm welcome to everybody here in Gyan Sarovar and also our online viewers today. We have with us this morning two special jewels of happiness of Baba's, Sister Maureen from the UK and Sister Wadi from the USA. And these special jewels have great expertise in this topic this morning, which is the art and science of happiness, because they both came to Baba way back in the early days of foreign service, and they were taken under Dadi Janki's wings. And so you can imagine the sustenance that they got. And Dadi trusted them, empowered them, sent them off. Sister Maureen has been serving in London under the wings now of Jenti Ben, and Sister Wadi flew off to the United States, where she has been serving in Florida as a companion of Mohini Didi. And together, these two special jewels have about 100 years of Brahmin wisdom. And so I suspect that this morning they're really going to talk about the wisdom of happiness. And they're going to be in conversation, and we all get to eavesdrop on this conversation and pick up these little jewels of wisdom. So very warm welcome for Sister Maureen and Sister Wadi.
Thank you, and good morning, and Om Shanti, and a huge welcome. I think this is the beginning of a new group, and a double welcome, or 100,000 welcomes to those of you who are here for the first time. Maybe Maureen and I would like to see for whom it's the first time in Madhuban.
Oh, only one person.
Put your hand up. There were a lot here last night. I think they've all got frightened off by the rain, maybe.
Or maybe the translation is slow.
Ah, that's also possible.
Hasn't caught up. And so Maureen and I came to Madhuban for the first time together. We came to Gyan. We didn't know each other, but literally within weeks of each other. And have, as well as being service companions, but I always consider Maureen a very dear friend. And I think friendship is a very important thing when it comes to happiness.
Agree completely.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that I came to London for 6 weeks in 1982, and you went to Florida for 6 weeks in 1982.
4 weeks.
Oh, 4 weeks, was it? I was told 6 weeks. And anyway, 4 weeks or 6 weeks, it's become 40-something years in both cases. So it was just an interesting, I don't know, just start together. But yeah, those early days, of course, very special. And I think I didn't know the art of happiness as so well then as I know now. But I still fail at times, of course. But I also, Wadi, I just see that you don't get phased out by much, you know. I've been on more of a roller coaster. Would you agree?
I'm not sure that I would. You might need to ask the people in Miami. Yeah. But not really. It's not so much that I don't get phased by very much. I think that I've had a very gentle and lovely BK life, and I haven't had to deal with too many major problems or difficulties, at least ways they didn't seem like that, or if they were, then I've forgotten them. And that for sure, for me, in terms of feelings, then happiness is very, very important to me. And and the awareness that happiness is in my domain, whether I'm happy or not. It's not the things that are happening. But again, do I revert to my own happiness? I won't take on certain things because they might be bigger than me at that moment. And so happiness as a way of life, as a happiness in relationships, happiness internally is very important.
Yeah, agree. Yeah. And I've just seen at times if I'm not so happy, it's usually because of relationships. You know, there's something, you know, sometimes something's outside of your control and, you know, it doesn't make you feel good when you may see certain things happening. But where there's real, you know, sort of, your happiness has gone away. I don't like to say sadness or unhappiness because that's like really getting into a negative state. But when you're aware that your happiness is not there, it's usually because of relationships generally. And of course then you're putting human beings in front of Baba at that time. And I know I'm very well aware of it, but it's like when you get into that feeling, sometimes there's nothing you feel like there's nothing you can do about it. And so I just then have to be patient with myself, kind with myself, because as soon as I start to tell myself off for not being happy, I get more unhappy then. So
yeah.
So your self-talk, I find the self-talk really, really important.
Yeah. And then from a philosophical point of view, and I've said this so many times, and what's useful for me is to know that if there is a difficulty in relationship or when there's a difficulty and, you know, would be a situation with, say, someone on a recurring basis, somebody that you're involved in service with or whatever, but it helps me take responsibility, knowing that somewhere or another I have invited that person into my scenario or into my drama. They did not come without my invitation. And then the challenge is to know what to do with them now that they're here. And likewise, they have invited me into their drama as well. And I have seen how relationships have changed.
Oh, definitely.
You know,
yeah.
Because we all know, bottom line, each one of us has to take personal responsibility. And so knowing that I, the wisdom of my soul, invited that person because they were coming to deliver a message, to show me maybe some ugliness in my own self, something that I hadn't noticed or reconciled as yet. So from that point of view, nobody's in your drama by mistake. Do you agree? Even though you may not want to.
But they're still there.
Yeah.
I've seen a change in myself, you know, that, and I was thinking there's such a connection between self-respect and happiness and your dignity and happiness.
Yeah.
And I know that it took me a while, you know, to get to that point of feeling that confidence or self-respect. But it was interesting that situations happen now where I think to myself, you know, if somebody comes to you and the way they speak to you or something, and afterwards I think to myself, you know, a few years back, I would have just been devastated by that.
Really?
But now it's like I say to myself, really, okay, that's their part in the drama.
Nice.
My part's different.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean, like you say, that you don't look and see, well, okay, what to have to learn here, you know. And when you can have that perspective, there's much more learning, actually, because otherwise you just spend a lot of time feeling sorry for yourself. So I found I'm much more able to, well, I guess it's use gyan, but be very, you know very much where I am, you know, with Baba. And sometimes you see that what's happening for a person is that it's not them really speaking, but their past sorrows or traumas or whatever, you know. And so rather than feeling hurt, I'm much more compassionate.
You know? You're much more sensitive than... We're much more sensitive.
I'll probably still am.
Than I was. I don't think so. But one of the things, you know, and I totally agree with you, the thing of self-respect, you know, I don't know to what degree one has it, but in very simple terms for me, it would be, I need to like myself.
Yeah.
I need to like myself. I'm not going to be with anyone else. There's no guarantee I'll be with anyone else for the whole kalpa, not even God.
You sure? You sure? We won't be
pretty
together
much
for the whole cycle? You sure?
You fine, Maureen. But I am going to be with me, you know. And so it's just about liking myself. There might have been another time where, you know, the arrogance would have insisted on being that I'm right or I'm going to win in this situation. But so then liking yourself is to do with your behavior and your behavior in relation to other people. And so when it doesn't suit my image of my own self, then I need to back up and think differently. And
What do you mean doesn't suit your image? Or what do you mean, the goal you've given or the
No, in the present. I operate very much in the present. That if I'm being combative or I'm being argumentative or prove that I'm right or whatever.
Oh, never. We never do that. Come on.
I would rather see myself as being kind,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And so then that transference from the hard, solid ego to something softer that says, okay, I agree or I surrender or whatever else. So, it you know the old image is a beautiful image of the
just
the
a sec, one of the translators waving for something. Is everything okay? No? Oh, we have to speak louder? No? Slow down.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank
you know that.
Thank you for that.
Sorry. That image of the little cat that looks in the mirror and sees a lion, and the idea that what's important is how you see yourself. But very often we operate thinking about how others are seeing us.
Yeah.
And so being happy
That's a very fine line, and that is really important, actually. I think it's very subtle, because sometimes I think I'm operating as I want to be, or let's say as... And when I say I want to be, what Baba wants, you know, yeah. You know, following yesterday, it was... yoga, divine virtues, you know, Baba really emphasized, and I want to be someone with divine virtues. I want it from my heart.
Yes.
It's not...
If we could move this a little bit so that when you're talking to Wadi, in the mic.
Or should I hold it? Is that, well,
yeah,
okay.
If you wouldn't mind. And then just a tiny bit
slower. So, I think I want to be, that's what I want from my heart.
Yeah.
But it's such a habit to be noticing how others see you or wanting to make a certain impression. And eventually that's going to erode, that does erode your happiness. So I've seen a kind of... what would you say, a sliding scale when I've gone from that more to being my own person, there's greater happiness. And others are happier with me, actually.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. But when you can't make anybody happy, actually.
You can't.
No. Yeah. I don't think
and then
so.
That thing of if you're getting your happiness, you know, from how they see you or whatever, then the guarantee is you will also take unhappiness.
Absolutely.
And I was thinking about this today, you know, like you can imagine, and it would be the same for many of you having come to Madhuban for all of these years. And of course, there were the daddies, and there was Baba, and there was all of these things. And then finding myself missing it a little bit, and the awareness that this is the law, that if you've taken happiness from anyone, you know, without Baba being part of it, then there will also be sadness or there will be sorrow when that is no longer available to you. And I think the big thing for me was that despite the number of years that we've been coming here and fully participating in everything, that it was like the atmosphere, Pandav Bhavan, Gyan Sarovar, Shantivan, being with everyone. And so at some level, why I'm missing something is because my focus was on the taking. And then there's a point where you realize you're coming to Madhuban now not just to take, but you have to give a return. Otherwise, there's no point in telling you all these wonderful stories about how we were with the daddies if all we can say is, oh, I really, really miss them. It's not a good testament to them, is it? You know, and so to be careful from, you know, that wherever you take your happiness from, because it will have to be given back in another coin, if you like, that nothing external should be the reason for your happiness. That there's a line I've always liked that, you know, happiness, not circumstances, but in all circumstances. You know, so it's not dependent on the weather or the people.
Yeah, but like the song, can't pay your rent, be happy, don't worry, be happy. But that amazing that I think it's only being released this month, but there was a preview that few had of this, the film about Brahma Baba, the animated film.
You didn't see it. No.
But what struck me was this thing, be happy. Baba was, you know, no flour to cook chapatis, nothing to feed the children with.
Yes.
He's responsible. Don't worry, children. He's responsible. And just seeing it animated in film really brought it home to me, what Baba went through and Baba's faith. And we've seen it in Daddy Janki particularly. And you know, last night I was saying in the welcome, you know, you see all the ancestors and Daddy Janki's not there. No, because this was done, at least I don't think she's there. No, she's not. And I thought, gosh, I used to think, will I see the day when Daddy Janki's photo is there? Amazing. So that wasn't very happy, but anyway.
But what you're saying about Brahma Baba and those very, very intense circumstances, and so then what you seem to be saying is that happiness has other virtues within it. I don't even know if we call happiness a virtue.
State of being, maybe?
Mm-hmm. You know, there's another line which many of you will be familiar with. I think it's Viktor Frankl. The idea that happiness can't be pursued, it can only ensue. You can't pursue happiness, but that it comes as a result of something. I was wondering if we have any people here from Finland? Anyone from Finland? Because they always seem to get, maybe for about 6 or 10 years, the number ones of happiness, right?
Oh, wow.
And so there's a criteria.
I remember the only visit to Finland, and I said, oh, you're in the happiest country, as though you should live here.
Yeah. So what are the requirements for happiness? What are the... We presume that it's not the externals, although... You know,
well,
it does make a difference.
You know, we were both feeling cold this morning. Anyone feeling cold? So, you know, the external does have an impact. We want the sunshine. But, you know, Baba's happiness was to do with total faith.
Total faith.
That really, you know, and so any gap in your faith, you know, and if any doubt gets into your head about anything, well, of course, gyan, if that's the big one, but also, you know, just thinking that if somebody tells you something about someone, puts something in your ear, and you begin to doubt that person, that takes your happiness away, but it takes mine away.
Yeah.
You know, anything negative that you get into, and sometimes I can feel a bit, you know, like righteous justice, you know, when you see this huge amount of injustice. Or is there injustice? Okay, it's all karma, we know. In public, you can't just say, oh, it's all karma and wipe it off. There's so much injustice. And then I have to remind myself, I remember asking Jentiben about that, actually. And, of course, in terms of the climate change conferences and the injustice that, of course, the countries that are least responsible
are paying
the biggest price, and the rich countries are not helping or only helping in a tiny way. And she said, yes, remember the bigger picture of the whole drama, where, what time we're in. And so I often find myself saying that, yep, it's Kali Yuga, remember it's Kali Yuga. You know, that's... You have to put it into a bigger frame.
You have to put it in a bigger frame, and it doesn't mean that you are immune or that you don't see the disparity in terms of cultures or religions or whatever else. And so you could have endless sorrow about all of the things that are happening in the world, because the tendency is to take sides, and some of the situations have been going on for 800 or more, you know. And so where do you align yourself? And by aligning yourself, are you going to change it? And so if I can keep on doing what I'm supposed to do in my little world, you know, then sure, that is some kind of a contribution, because, you know, no one else has ever said, I never heard it from anybody else, but Baba, you know, don't give sorrow and don't take sorrow, you know. And so we all are aware of not trying not to give sorrow to others, but, you know, we're still human beings with human hearts. And we do get affected, and especially if it's your people, you know, whether it's a country or a faction or whatever else. And so a measure of my body consciousness, and I remember once coming back from Ireland, and it was during the time of what we call the Troubles, and... of course, the little town that I'm from was full of British soldiers with their guns and tanks and one thing and another. And I was wondering, knowing that the seniors had gone through the partition period, and I wanted to ask Daddy about it because they were in a situation where it was one religious faction and another, and there was unlimited death and carnage and all the rest of it. And she said, we never even thought about it. We were just with Baba, and we were beyond. And so I would like to think that I could be like that. And so you take sides on the basis of the costume of this birth, you know. And so how to be free of that. So you're buying into the sorrow. So can you give happiness at that point?
No, at that point you can't give happiness, actually. And in fact, reminds me of a few things. Of course, the Yagya moved only after partition. Baba protected them completely. But I remember when it was 9/11 and we wanted to give out a worldwide message, and so we asked Daddy, and the core of it was, now is not the time to take sides.
Yes.
Now is the time to have love and compassion for everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember also being in Jerusalem with Daddy Gulzar, her one and only visit to the Holy Land. And one rabbi friend had organized an event in a very religious community. And so there was a Muslim sheikh, Daddy Gulzar, Christian father, and then the rabbi who was chairing this panel. Maybe about 20, 25 people, but very religious people. And somebody asked a question about Osama bin Laden, and that he was still alive then, and that... does he have a connection with God? Because he claims to be doing things, you know. And the sheikh just said, well, I can't comment on anyone's direct connection with God. It's personal. And when it came to Daddy, she said, well, I also can't comment. It's his personal thing. But my religion teaches me to have love and compassion for everyone.
Yes.
And people were touched by that.
Yeah, of course.
And afterwards I said to Daddy, because there were big programs and everything, I said, but Daddy, this has been the most important thing that's happened in Israel, in that community. But yeah, this thing of, you can't help it. You have a, you know, it's a real, something really to be... And of course, you know, for me, it's been at the first few days were not so easy. I have 30 family members in Israel, maybe, and all in the south where it was happening. But now, of course, the other side of what's happening. Anyway, I don't want to go into it, but I had to take myself above it really, really consciously. Because where do you go with this? Can't go anywhere, you know, if you don't go above.
Yeah, I had spoken maybe a couple of weeks ago, I was on with the Israeli family, and I was very touched by their, this was, you know, would have been a month or two away from the events that happened in October. And, of course, you can imagine the shock and the horror and, as you say, family and all the rest of it. But how they had, through Baba's Gyan, lifted themselves out of that, did not stay in the sorrow or enter into the blame game, you know. And that's the thing that... You know, we can breathe a sigh of relief, because otherwise we are, if we're sitting here, then it means we are by our nature socially aware and active and want to help humanity, and yet under normal circumstances, how can you see an end to any of these things? But with Baba's Gyan, you see it in a whole different way. And that you still continue. It's like I was sharing with somebody the other day when I first came to the Brahma Kumaris. than being struck by the idea of destruction. And even though that was, it was in 1976, and the BK...
I don't remember it being talked about when we came together.
Oh,
do you remember?
Ask Sister Jendi, she'll tell you about the conversation we had.
Passed me by somehow.
You know, this was before I had accepted the BKs, or they had accepted me, I don't know. But the amazing thing for me was that even though they were talking about destruction and there was some talk about it actually happening that year, by year's end, but then when I got here, which was the end of 76, they're painting and they're decorating and they're building new buildings. And so it didn't, it's not that even with the thought of destruction or whatever, there's not the mentality, there's not a siege mentality, that they're still going to continue to do their good works and be of service. And that's where the happiness is, I think, that you feel that you're useful, you're doing something in the world.
Well, you know, when you think like that, we know our bodies are finite, but it doesn't stop us from taking care of our bodies or taking care of our health.
Yeah.
But I was remembering one other thing that, and the Israeli family have been amazing, that
amazing.
yoga, that's been the... it was at the end of one of these big inter-religious things, and it actually the same rabbi... And he said to me, I've just been in the session with the indigenous people, and their message ranges from we have to do something before it's too late to it's too late already. So what did Brahma Baba say? Because he knows quite a bit of Gyan. Brahma Baba talked about this. I said, yes, he talked about the transition. He talked about that. We don't know all the whole detail. And then I said to him, but I say to myself, and I do say this to myself, at that time of destruction or, you know, maximum upheaval, am I going to be in a situation where I'm needing help, or am I going to be spiritually strong enough to give help and support as God's instrument? And he looked at me, he said, yes, that's it, he said. But really, that's it. Where am I going to be? Yeah. Am I going to be that angel on the mountaintop because of the high stage that Baba talked to us about? Or am I going to be, oh, what's happening? Help, help, you know? So I know very firmly in my mind where I want to be at that moment. And I feel, although sometimes... you have a little trepidation, a little, well, means fear in a way, what may happen next, or, you know, we've seen the daddies go, and, you know, the trauma's changing so much. And yet I had the experience in COVID, you know, the lockdown time, which wasn't a very easy time, but anyway, I'm jealous of the people who say, I had time for study, I had time for... I didn't. but I felt that, you know, and your seniors are far away, the other side of the world, but I felt like Baba guided us every, not just every day, every moment. It was such a deep experience, and that gave me a lot of faith and confidence that I know whatever happens, Baba is absolutely there, personally there to guide you what to do in a very, very practical way. Yeah. That's a beautiful feeling.
You know, just another thought, Maureen. One thing is the giving and taking of sorrow. But what about when one is giving themselves sorrow? Okay, one thing is where you're doing it to somebody else, but where there's the nature of feeling guilty, there's the nature of being disappointed, there's the nature of being upset. It's almost like a constant punishment of one's own self. Does anybody experience that? No.
I used to be very good at guilt. I'm not so good at it now, which is good.
How did you change it?
Just to do with self-respect and regaining dignity more than anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it does come, but it'll be a short period. It won't be long period.
Yeah, I think that's the key is where the duration of certain things, they still pop up, but the duration of them is much shorter than before. And I suppose this thing of guilt, because we're supposed to be talking about the art, the art of happiness. I think put the two in English anyway, it won't work in other languages, but it's really the heart. The heart maybe in the intellect, the art and science. And so it's the heart that takes the sorrow. It's not the intellect, right? It's the heart that needs mending. It's the heart that needs reframing. And so how something that starts off as, you know, it could just be a thought or an incident, but then I keep adding thoughts to it, and then I start identifying myself in that way. You know, I'm not good enough, I'm inept, I'm... Give me some more...
Nobody likes me.
Nobody likes me. I never get a chance. I'm a weak soul, you know. Does Baba love me?
The self-talk again, isn't it?
Yeah, that self-talk
is so important.
Yeah, and it's not that they would necessarily impose that on somebody else, although there is often a connection, but it's almost like there's more joy in giving the self sorrow.
More joy.
Yeah, in a kind of a way, because if you weren't getting something from it, you wouldn't do it, surely.
You know, this is where we are kind of addicted to these patterns, aren't we, of taking sorrow, like you say. And it's because it's what we know. It's comfortable, you know. And also, I've just seen, you know, that when people have taken a lot of sorrow, you can use that sorrow to manipulate other people.
Exactly.
And that I've seen, you know...
The nature of guilt.
Sorry?
Or if they have the nature of guilt.
Of the nature of guilt, yeah. Yes. And you can, you know, make people feel sorry for you. I remember at one point thinking, I have to renounce the need for sympathy for anything.
Oh, how interesting. That's very interesting.
Very interesting thought. I thought, that really means dignity. I don't need anybody to give me sympathy.
That is I never thought of that before, Maury.
Yeah.
I remember once, and you probably were there too, it would have been in the meditation hall probably, or in Om Shanti Bhavan, early days. And Daddy Janki asked the question, I don't remember the context, but she asked the question, who has cried in the last week or month? And I remember thinking to myself, and may even have expressed it to the person next to me, I don't cry, but I get angry. And it was the first time that I realized the connection between being hurt and anger. Because I didn't cry, you know, because that almost seemed like... And as you say, Maureen, when you cry, you get sympathy. But if you get angry, nobody wants to come near you, you know.
But you know, this thing of hurt and sympathy, it's the same emotion, almost
yes.
The same. It's very close, yeah.
Hurt and sympathy?
No, hurt and anger.
No, that's what I'm saying. You're angry because... But anger looks like as if you're strong and so on, but it's not. It's and also because it is hiding from your very own self that you've been hurt, right? When the anger comes out. So that was a big revelation for me. This is the beauty of, you know, the teachings that Baba gives us. It's not just about, you know, the cycle and the tree and all of that, but it's a study in you. It's the study of you. It's an ongoing study of just you as an individual. And that never ends, you know, while you're in that body. And so, you know, Baba says, remember him so that you can...
Be happy.
Well, that you can come to kind of know yourself. It's all about you.
It's very interesting what you said, that anger is about hiding the hurt from yourself. And I just wonder then, you know, any negative emotion we have, we're hiding behind it in some way, aren't we? You know, and the real self can't be seen. And sometimes I was thinking also earlier, what gives me happiness, the greatest pleasure actually, is when you see souls come close to Baba.
Oh yeah.
That really is, you know, the greatest. You feel, whether you've been part of it or not, but you just see the soul opening up and going, it's just wonderful.
It's a little
wonderful.
Bit, I would imagine, for those of you who are parents, like when the child takes the bottle for the first time and feeds themselves. And so
their first steps.
Yeah, but feeding themselves more appropriately. In other words, that they're not depending on you anymore to feed them, that they are being fed directly. Or you see this shift where they'll, to begin with, it'll be like, well, the Brahma Kumaris say, or you people say, and then there's the change, and it's like, we say, we think, and it's like, how did that shift happen? And it's very nice to see. I remember asking Daddy once, did she ever get tired of changing diapers, nappies? You know, that there's always going to be new children and they're always going to need the same things. But one thing that I'm seeing recently, and I don't know if this is across the world, I always say that Baba has, you know, all of the predictions that Baba has made, I've watched them happen, right? And the only one that I say that I still hadn't seen was that there would be a queue, there would be a line outside your centers. Maybe some centers there are. And of course, when I thought of the queue or the line, I saw it in terms of, you know, the poorest, spiritually speaking, the desperate, that quality of soul. But, in fact, COVID showed me that that's not the case. That, in fact, the souls who are coming now, what I've seen, it's almost like as if they've been on a parallel path with us, whatever has been their life's experience, but it's almost like as if they're on a parallel path. And then they come to the BKs, like, you know, the end of the journey, and it's like instant that they absorb without having had the experiences that we had. We must have been the weak souls that needed the heavy artillery and the black belts and everything else to sustain us. They don't have any of those things, but they do have other means. And of course, technology, in terms of technology, they have access to things that we would never even have dreamt of. And I just see these souls just very, very quickly becoming Baba's children. Not long processes, but very, very quickly. Are you seeing that too?
Definitely and very strong. Strong pukka.
Very strong pukka in no time.
Yeah. And I remember, though, Daddy Janki saying once, you do, meaning our generation, kind of, in 2 years what took us 20 years. Mm-hmm. And so I think as the gyan gets refined and we move, you know, the scenes are moving towards the end of the cycle, things happen more quickly.
Exactly.
And, you know, for these souls, again, there's no time, you know, that things happen really quickly. But I just wanted to go back to the guilt thing for a second. I remember asking Daddy once, I said to her, Daddy, sometimes I see you make mistakes, like small mistakes, but you never stop, you just carry on, you know, like as if nothing happened. And she, her response was, ha 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 ha, she just laughed. But that lightness of the Daddy's, because of that self-respect, self-dignity, that firm foundation of faith, their deep, deep, you know, companionship with Baba, it's like nothing could go wrong for them, you know? Yeah. And because they had that feeling, nothing did go wrong for them.
Exactly.
You know?
Their clarity of purpose as well.
Yeah, huge.
That clarity of, you know, what they were meant to be doing, which was to reveal Baba.
Yeah. Amazing.
So,
any
questions? Want to comment or would you say, by and large, who would say they're, you know, that they would identify as a happy soul? I'm a happy person. Who would identify as a happy person?
Waiting
for the translator over here.
Oh, right. Taking time. Mostly. Very good.
But no doubt your happiness has changed from coming to Baba, you know. And we haven't even gone into the thing yet of, you know, what is happiness and what is bliss. See, it was different.
That's another thing. Yeah. I mean, early days in London, things were very serious. And I remember first time coming to Madhuban, and then seeing the brothers doing skits and laughing. And
me too.
And I thought, oh, okay, oh, this is quite good.
Yes. Yeah, you didn't expect that. We were serious.
We were so serious. Yeah. Daddy was so serious. Yes, sorry, go on.
Well, I thought that what Sister Wadi said was kind of a segue into some of you may want to ask questions of these two sisters. Is that okay if we open up for questions?
Yeah, I'd like to.
If anybody would like to ask a question, you can come up here and I will give you the microphone.
Or share a comment. You're welcome. Doesn't have
to be
a question.
Yeah. Video, they have to come up here and get the microphone.
Oh, they have to come on the stage?
No, they just go here and then I'm going to hand them the mic.
Yeah, so what do you say? A comment, question, whatever.
Comments or questions? Who would like
to? Or you'd like to sing or dance?
Yes. Comments, questions, songs, dances, magic tricks, jokes. Yes, come on up.
This is a great morning.
And then speak clearly and slowly, because we love our translators. We want them to stay happy.
Thank you.
Shanti. I just wanted to make a comment. Something from the Bible struck me about happiness, and I think I'm right in quoting. It says, happiness is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace.
Nice.
That's beautiful.
You know, yes. So I think I might be paraphrasing.
But it's good anyway. It's a good line. Yeah.
So I think it is quite true.
Yes.
Because as far as this self is concerned, I can't say I've been unhappy. Touch wood. So that's what I wanted to share.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Om Shanti.
It's beautiful.
Roshan from Ireland.
Oh, really?
Thank you. We have another speaker or performer coming up here to the stage. Please hold the mic in one place and hold your head in one place so that the sound is very nice.
Hello, Mary. Ram. Hello, everybody. Hello, sisters. Myself, Ram Bhai, from Chicago, a student of Sister Sonia. So, one thing I would like to add, whatever the whole discussion was going on, very impressive and touching, that our waste thoughts and negative thoughts are also the greatest source of inviting sorrows regularly, or those people who are in the habit of, or in the attitude of, going on endlessly in the waste thoughts and negative thoughts. And secondly, my question is that when we are in endless troubles, physical troubles, ailments, when one doesn't find chances of getting cured soon or at all, how to, that something pinches, one feels every time, that sorrow within, how to deal with such situations. Thank you.
So the sorrow of physical ailments that continue and are not getting cured. Yeah. Well, are you relating to yourself or others? Anybody? Okay, so I'm going to say you look pretty happy. Well, we both observed Adi and everything that she went through physically. And of course Daddy's Daddy, but it was a great learning that she dealt with everything with so much yoga power. It's like she really understood her body. And, I think I do. I'm understanding my body a lot more in the last few years, actually because of various ailments. And I do feel I'm getting to know my body more. And I remember at one point going for a walk, this is in London, and actually consciously apologizing to my body for not looking after it. It's about a relationship with the body. And Daddy would do this thing when she was sick. She would go to sleep, but such a deep sleep that you used to think, has the soul left? Is this, she still there or not? And then she'd come back and she'd be different. She'd gone through that healing process. But also, I'd like to tell another story. Sorry, taking time. There's somebody who left the body last year. His name's Stuart. He lived in Scotland. Oh, you didn't know he'd left?
Did you tell me?
Oh, sorry. Getting told off. So he was the instrument for myself and David to come to Baba. I saw David before. He's here now. But because he organised the exhibition in Edinburgh that we saw when we came, that's how we came to Baba. So he was a very strong Baba's child. Then he'd moved away for various reasons. Then it was 18 years ago, he had a severe stroke at the brainstem level. So that meant he was, paralyzed completely, but his brain was fine, actually, his mental functioning. And he came back in touch, and he had that locked-in syndrome. Anyway, I'm going into too much detail. But he was very jolly all the time, and he used to communicate using a light box because just one finger he could move a bit and so on. But once he asked me a question that I took to Daddy, and his question was, can God interfere or Baba interfere in your karma? Because here he is in, you know, such a condition. And Daddy said, Baba can't interfere with your karma as such, but if you're connected to Baba, Baba will make sure that you don't miss out on any service that you have to do. And this individual, he wrote three books after the stroke. Fabulous. He used to be a coach and trainer for a few years. Highly intelligent, highly. And he used to say he wrote at least three books. He had a play performed at the Edinburgh Festival. So you can imagine he served even in this condition. 18 years he was there. So I don't know if that's by way of an answer, but what do you want to add?
I think what you said was very important, because I was seeing Daddy Janki. I'm also seeing Didi.
And Daddy demonstrated that as well.
Yeah. I'm also seeing Didi Mohini, who has a very particular health situation, but nobody would know it to either look at her. And the fact that she shows up every single night on Avyakti Parivar. And so I think this nature of wanting to serve. One, they're very clear, they have to become masters of matter, right? These are very elevated souls. But that despite whatever's going on, they've never used it as an excuse not to be of service. That is the overriding thing, and that then helps them. I always remember Daddy back in the days in Tennyson Road, and it was like one of the first times we were seeing her unwell, but she had a situation with her leg, you know, and two things I remember about that. She was trying to make her way to the bathroom. This was in 98 Tennyson Road, and, you know, she couldn't go upstairs. And she's walking along holding the wall, and another sister came in and it was, Daddy, let me help you. You may not need us, but we need you. Let me help you.
I remember that.
Yeah, and then she was, Pramila was the sister, and then she was on her bed, and I always remember her going, you know, you'd say, Daddy, how are you? She goes, leg, you are here, I am here. Finish. You know, so she was able to make that distinction. But I think that thing of service, and going back to what you were saying before Stuart came up, I believe this is one of the greatest gifts that Baba has given us, is that no matter who we are, what strata you're from, you have something you can provide. He makes it possible for you to provide something to the rest of humanity that will serve, that will help. And so I think that when there's that nature of wanting to... I saw somebody else who was unwell this morning, and they could easily have gotten someone to fill in for them. But no, she was determined. She got here. So, you happy?
Very happy.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Mary. Take. Anyone else? Is there anyone else wanted to say anything? There's somebody else.
Yeah.
You give a chance.
I'm Shanti.
Hello, Shanti.
I'm really enjoying this, and
I just wanted to share an experience that I had that was really enlightening for me. I'm Carolyn, and I'm from California. I'm enjoying Maraban very, very much. And it's easy to be happy here. I just wanted to say that there was an experience I had when I live at a retreat center, and there was a fire started across the street, and there was these little dots, and all of a sudden the dots started going this way, and they got closer together, and eventually a telephone pole went up, and myself and Elizabeth, we were out watering and shaking, watering the lawn, because it was right directly across the street. You could feel the heat. And what happened was is that in my mind, I thought, should I get my stuff put in my car and go? And then I thought, no, I need to stay and help. The minute I had that thought, beautiful, my heart opened.
Beautiful.
And it was like I was embracing the fire even. In my whole trip to Maraban this time, the focus was on embracing everything. And it's just been really wonderful. And even this morning, I had such a beautiful Amrit Vela, and I was really been trying to see myself more as the soul. But I was just sending love. Brother Sri said, send love to nature, send love to every single soul, like you were saying. And through that, then I was even seeing the big picture, and I was seeing destruction, and I was embracing destruction. And it was okay. Everything, I could see that was bringing in the happiness. Out of the dark was coming the light.
I think what you're saying is very important, that when there's the thought to help, in other words, being the benefactor, or there's even the thought of happiness, it's like a portal opens up and help comes, that something magic happens. Whereas if it's the opposite, the portal is closed. You don't have access to that higher energy. So it's very nice what you said.
And what happened was is the wind was going the opposite direction that day. It normally comes towards us. That day it was going the other way.
Beautiful. Yeah.
It's always there. Baba's always there.
That's the science.
That's
the cause and effect, yeah. To use those higher energies, and they result in, you know, cooperation. To use those higher energies and automatically cooperation, something, you know, unexpected happens. And yeah, so to be the benefactor, the thoughts of being the benefactor. Yeah.
Om Shanti, good morning. Shanti. Thank you so much for those lovely sharings.
Hello. I have to say, this is one of those individuals who came to Baba during that lockdown time and
really?
Became yes. Baba's child very quickly.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you, Sister Margaret. I was going to do the same point, actually, but there we go. So it's Jeff from UK. I'm from a group that's termed the Zoom generation. And Baba's been there all along and guiding and creating the path forward, always there knowing what's needed. And so that's been really enjoyable. But also the realization that everybody in the family wants the best for everybody in the family.
Beautiful.
And that's a real big driving force forwards as well. So, yeah, thank you so much. And it does take a little bit of courage to come to the front, but Baba's there and supporting. And I did put my hand up to say that I'm a happy soul.
Nice to
Om
meet
Shanti.
You.
Thank you, everyone, for sharing. Thank you, Sister
nice
Wadi
morning.
And Sister Thank Maureen. You. We're almost out of time. We have one more minute. If anybody has a one-minute comment. Okay, we want to use our time in a worthwhile way, so I'll ask a question. Baba always says that the cleverness of Maya is that Maya constantly takes new forms that we don't recognize because situations change. So have either of you noticed a new way that maybe Maya has come to you to try to rob you of your happiness?
Not while we're in Madhuban. And it's like the person was saying, because, you know, and like, was it Jeff you said his name was? Uh-huh. That everybody is in that mode of good wishes and good feelings and giving blessings and what have you. And so the law of synchronicity works amazingly. Have you noticed that? The synchronicity of things when you're in Madhuban? So you get to, I always say that, you know, you're not dealing with, I think karma is put on hold while you're in Madhuban, and even if you are ill, it doesn't feel difficult. And so just that thing of seeing how everything works so beautifully, because you're operating yourself at a higher level, not to mention the vibrations that are here already. And so, no, Maya hasn't penetrated yet.
So I don't know about Maya, you, Maureen. Our consciousness is keeping Maya down below.
Yeah, don't worry, she'll pick you up when you get to the bottom of the mountain again. She'll pick up.
No, I can't really think of anything especially. So don't know what's around the corner, of course. But I guess one thing I would say that what's the protection? Baba talked about Maya cheating us or deceiving, and the mind deceiving us. But just that the confluence stage is for learning, constant learning. And if you really have that sort of attitude of learning, it saves you from quite a lot, actually, and draws Baba's help. Yeah.
That's a very good note to end on. Did you want to say something, brother? Is it 1 minute or less?
Thank you. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
Here the session is really, really amazing. And I personally like it. The answer of the Maya is very easy. Very easy. To keep ourselves in busy and love and charity, that is in our consciousness. And we feel whole day to change ourselves, not ambitious, to helping others, to move one step by one step in whole day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, brother. So we'll finish with a few minutes of yoga and thank Baba for the amazing, eternal, unending, perfect happiness that we've all received. And thank you so much to Sister Wadi and Sister Maureen.